At the weekend, I went to Burwell in search of Ralph & Co, a very cool decorative antiques and interiors showroom owned by Carl Rutterford. Carl Rutterford owns Ralph & Co, which is in Burwell. I've come along to his showroom of decorative antiques and interiors to have a chat. Carl, hi.
Hello.
This place is amazing. It's a bit of a secret, I don't know, it's unless you know it's here, you're missing out. So it's tucked away in Burwell next to...
Type 2 Detectives, who are restorers of classic VW campervans and Beetles and so on.
And they sometimes have BMXs and cool bikes outside as well.
They do.
So when you get here, how would you describe it?
How would I describe it? Right, you walk in and go, wow, pretty much. It's colourful, it's jazzy, it's interesting, it's different. You probably won't see anything anywhere in the UK with this sort of eclectic mix as what we've got in this shop. But literally, most people walk in and just go, wow, can I put it in my house or can I afford it? And normally the answer is no. Yeah, it's an amazing place. It's an Aladdin's cave. It's a man cave, but there's something for everybody in here.
I totally agree with that, actually. I mean, you can look and look and look and look and still see something different each time. You can spend hours here, actually. I mean, I'm going to take some pictures and people can see some pictures on the website. But so you've got anatomical figures, you've got skeletons, you've got cabinets, you've got all kinds of, weird and wonderful stuff.
Yeah, so basically decorative antiques, essentially what we do now is we supply... shops, interiors, we supply window dressers, we supply major UK-based businesses, London attractions, with decorative things to put on display which are interesting or will be a statement piece for them. So, like you've suggested, it could be anything from an anatomical figure to a fairground light to a decorative poster to an old Chesterfield chair. We basically go into six different categories, which is furniture, lighting, advertising, fairground. There are six, right?
I'm not counting.
No, neon signs, and a bit of what I'd call just then everything else, miscellaneous. So it's items for the collector, for the interior designer, and for the I just want it, but I don't know why I want it. There you go. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that really sums it up, actually. So when you go buying, and you originally... How did you start? Where did it start from?
So this all started... I got lucky, to be honest with you. I was in a full-time, very good career with a company I'm not sure if I'm allowed to say on radio. But there you go, a top retailer in the UK, and I was offered the opportunity to leave on my terms. So I did, and I basically just said, I'm going to set up my own business. The birth of my son, called Ralph, was the inspiration, so I set up Ralph & Co. And literally, there was no turning back. From day one, I knew what I wanted to do, which was sell cool stuff and see if I can make it work. And fortunately, I put a business plan together in a day because it was all in my head. I dreamed about doing it, and I launched my website, and it just resonated from day one with the public and with businesses. So, yeah, I've been going just over a year, and it's just... flying is the best word to put it.
So you go out and about. I mean, your circus stuff is quite interesting because you obviously must have some contacts in the circus world to find old fairground stuff, which it's amazing. You've got fairground rides in here, basically horses and carts and all kinds of crazy signs and stuff. Which, like you say, is really bright and colourful and really eye-catching. But you know, if someone wants a merry-go-round horse, they get it here.
That's it. I mean, everyone always asks me, where did I get my stuff from? And I said, right at the start, I jumped in my van and I just went looking for it. And the amount of hours and miles that you put in, I mean, with all due respect to people, some people think that this just happens. It doesn't. You know, you wouldn't even drive past a skip without looking, because some people just throw things away, and obviously it might just not be no good to them. But the old saying of one person's junk is another man's treasure, I'm probably the guy who's at the end of that treasure chest, if you like, or seeking the treasure. So no, I go out in the van right at the start. I just put the miles in. I drove to Brighton one day, then I put my finger in the map and go to London the next day. And you just spot things as you come back or you learn, but sometimes you'll go out for hours and buy nothing, whereas some days you'll go out with a full van and you'll make a month's worth of money in a day. So it's very hit and miss. It's not well, I would say it's not glamorous. It isn't glamorous from Monday to Thursday, but Friday and Saturday, when you've got your stock and you see it selling and resonating with customers, then that's the cool thing. But yeah, getting hold of this stuff is not literally, you don't just go and find fairground horses. You have to put the groundwork in, you have to build relationships, you have to have good values, which I've got, and that's what's got me into a lot of places. And one person spoke to another person and said, look, he's a good guy, this guy. And that's, I think, you know, that's why I've, without sounding arrogant, that's why I've done so well in the first year, in that I've, you know, I lead with good values and people believe in me and buy into me. So that's why it's working.
And do you, does your taste change, or you've got very different ideas about what you like or what will sell? Because it's not necessarily something that you would have in your own home. I mean, a lot of people like buying stuff that they want, mm-hmm. personally, but it's what also sells.
Yeah, I mean, again, going back to that values piece, I've got core values of what I want my business to provide and sell, and that revolves around those six categories. But God, my taste changes weekly, monthly. I mean, I'm sitting here now, Liz, and there's things in here that I don't like and I don't want anymore, but actually they'll probably sell tomorrow. So every day surprises you. You'll look at things thinking, oh, I've had that for so long. I mean, you can have things, I've had things here since I started for a year and they sold last week, and you still make a huge profit. So it just goes to show, it's, you know, you never stray too far away from what you're going to buy. But, you know, who'd have thought I'd have bought two chairs from Exeter University yesterday, because I wouldn't have ever bought them before. But because my client base is building and customers are asking for different items, then I'm trying to fulfil what they're looking for as well, which means I expand into different categories as well.
Oh, I see. So you get people coming to you saying they want specific things.
Oh, I've got a list as long as my arm. Even from some well-known brands out there who've asked me to look out for this or look out for that. And even they even give you budgets to find them. But the things they want are what people can't find. And so I can't always find things for people, but I have a list that I take out of me every day, my little black book, and it's got the name of the contact, what I'm looking for, and it's such a delight when I can find something and send them a picture and they say, yes, I'll have it. So I'm doing that constantly every week.
That must be a real thrill, actually, finding. I mean, it is that magic moment, isn't it, when you find something,
yeah.
That... Because there's quite a few people doing that. I would say quite a few.
Yeah.
There's no one, I don't think, around Cambridge doing what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Not anywhere near. But if you look online, there are obviously on Instagram, there are people doing similar things. What do you, I mean, is there enough?
I see where you're going with
yeah.
this. Look, there's, don't get me wrong, there's loads of people doing this. And I admire everyone who tries to do this as a business, because now that I've done it for, you know, over a year, I know how hard it is to do it full time. But again, I don't wish to sound arrogant. The way I've separated myself from everybody else is by having a really good online presence, which is having a really good website to support doing this business. Because you get those who run their little shops on the high street. You get those who go to antique fairs and stall out, as they call it, and have a stall. But I didn't want to do it that way because of my career as a marketeer. I just thought, I'm going to set up a really good online presence, make sure it's optimised through Google and everything else, which is my expertise. And that's what separated me. My website gets, call 11, 12, 13,000 hits a month. And that's what sold my business, is having a really good website, which has got personality and so on. So I admire anyone who tries to do this. I'm fortunate that mine's really thriving, but I do believe your average antique shop on the high street will start to disappear one day, which is a shame. But more and more people will move online and not try and copy what I do, because some people could say that I copy what somebody else does. But I think it's all very well doing it online, but you've got to do it well. That's the difference.
You do have a really strong brand. I mean, let's give the website address, because I know people want to have a look.
It's www.ralphandcovintage.co.uk.
And when you have a look, you're sucked in. I mean, there's stuff on there that I watch like a hawk, whether it's sold or whether it's still available. And like you say, you just, I mean, in a normal home, you need space, because a lot of this stuff is very large. Mm-hmm. But it is just having different things in your home. I think everyone's searching for that, aren't they? Rather than just the very bland. People want... I mean, what is your home like?
Well, you say that. So if the guys who are listening could see my home, they wouldn't think I do what I do for a living. They would, once you walk into my showroom, most people ask me this, I have one room in my house, which is the office, which looks like this, but then the rest of it looks like IKEA, pretty much. So it's kind of that balance, I think, because I cannot get emotionally attached to my items. This is the big difference for those who succeed and don't in this business, I assume, in that many could get emotionally attached and don't want to sell that or go take it home and so on, but I just don't do that. I buy what I love, because I think if I love it, then hopefully somebody else will, which does happen, hence why my business is still thriving. So I'm going to continue in that vein, not put any more in my house, and keep popping to IKEA. There you go. Good plug for IKEA there. Can I say that on radio?
I mean, I think people personally are veering away from the IKEA. I think people want unique, old, something with a history, a story. Yeah, I do think that there was an IKEA boom, which has now disappeared.
But to back that up, Liz, actually, when I set out my objectives, you know, you normally as a marketer, you say, right, who is your customer base? You know, do you want them to be affluent? Do you want them to be young? And so on. Whereas I just said, you know, if you took antiques as a genre, most people would say it's kind of older chaps with a beard and a hat with welly boots on going to an antique fair. There's a little stigma attached to it, but I'm not saying that is a fact, but most people I did when I did some research would say, yeah, it's a kind of a man's thing, antiques, isn't it? Whereas the idea, the vision behind Ralph & Co. was to make cool stuff accessible to everybody. So when I put my target age, I put 16 to 65 plus. Why not? And when you look at my analytics, you know, there's such a balance. I don't have my biggest bias, my customers are 25 to 44, but that's only 30% of my customers. I have customers who are 65 plus who buy monthly from me. And then I have 18-year-olds coming in buying some cool fairground lights for their bedroom. They've, you know, one yesterday bought a pink flamingo for their bedroom. Who wouldn't want a pink flamingo? There you go. So I'm not wishing to say that I'm doing everything the right way. I'm just doing it the way the values I set out is what I'm trying to do, is make antiques, decorative antiques, cool for everybody.
Now, if we're looking around here, have you got favourite bits? You must have things that you particularly love. Talk me through that.
Sure. Fairground is my favourite genre, definitely, and that's sort of the core of my business. You know, I can sell fairground horses to go in windows of major high street shops on London, for example, which is one of my clients. But the thing about fairground stuff for me is you've got memories of being a kid, going on the dodgems, going on the carousel horses, you know, winning a fish, all that kind of stuff. But what you probably didn't notice at that time was all the artwork and the, you know, the skill of all the guys who were painting them. And I think that's what appealed to me. I've always been a creative chap. I think that's why Ralph & Co. came about. And the creative sort of juices from the fairground, people who painted, and it's just the burst of colour, I think, for me. There's nothing better than a mix of colour in a room. And I think that's why it all stemmed from that, really.
And also, the phrase is like, hold tight if you want to go faster, three balls for a pound. I don't know, all those things are quite synonymous with like you say, childhood memories, aren't they?
They absolutely are. And, you know, for the guys who have an IKEA house, which, I mean, we keep saying IKEA, but it's a nice house, but imagine a sign above your average IKEA sofa that's so colourful, it makes a statement piece for your home. And then naturally people say, my God, I want one, where'd you get it from? Mm. So I think, like you said earlier, Liz, people are more open nowadays to having something different in their home and being a bit quirky and being a bit different. Mm. And not all of my customers who buy from me have all of this stuff in their house. Mm. They just want that one item that goes in the hallway or goes above the sofa or something to, you know, to maybe cause a talking point when their friends come over or something.
Yeah, that's exactly it. I mean, Carl, I can't believe you've only been going a year, actually. And I love the fact that you've always got new stuff. You've always got stuff coming in. Every week you're buying, and it's obviously you must even have more stuff that we can't see.
Yeah, there's always a secret room somewhere. Look, yeah, I mean, most of it's on display. My challenge is that most time I go out buying, I have clients lined up for most of it already. So it kind of, I go get it comes in, then it goes straight, it's pitched to clients, and 80-90% of it goes to the clients. So naturally, you do get some things more that go into the showroom every week. But then what happens then is, because you buy and you sell, you go and buy more, you never get to the items that needed restoring or needed a light fit and putting onto it or so on. So there are some gems upstairs that you can't see right now, Liz. But there's not loads up there because it would be daft to be sitting on so much stock that you couldn't move.
Yeah.
But you can probably see from the showroom there's a good selection of stuff here. Mm. There's enough to make it appealing for people to come in, but the turnover is that good that it keeps changing as well.
Well, I can't stress enough to listeners that if they haven't been to visit, they have to come. Because I think once you've been once, like you say, you just want to come back again and again. And it is, I mean, the kids love it because you've got sweets here that you give to the children and drinks. You've got a drinks cabinet. I mean, you're a super friendly guy. I think your charisma is brilliant. And it is just a really fun place to look around for everyone. So, yeah, get yourselves, give me the address, the exact address.
The exact address is, so it's Ralph & Co, it's Ness Road in Burwell, Cambridgeshire, of course, CB25-0AA, and you find us opposite the Jet Petrol Station. So most people always get here and can never find me, so that's where we are. And you can also look out for Type 2 detectives, who are the classic restorers we mentioned. We're basically neighbours to those guys. And the reason for that is because the things we do are so complimentary. You know, guys pull up in a camper van and they love their quirky stuff and pop in and, I don't know, buy a cool box for their camper van as well. So, yeah, you should come and have a visit because there's free drinks, you can have a coffee and there's a sweet cabinet as well, which is free, right?
So will you ever go abroad looking for stuff? Do you think there's enough stuff in this country or...?
There's certainly enough stuff in this country, but there are so many opportunities abroad and everything's so much cheaper over there and you... I see colleagues doing this who are coming back with vans full of so much beautiful things. But at the moment, you know when they say, if it's not broken, don't fix it? At the moment, you know, my business is busy enough, actually very busy, that I can go out when I want and buy when I need to. Yet there's a burning desire to go to France, Belgium, Germany, anywhere abroad. I'd love to go to America, for God's sake, but... I don't know if I can say that on radio, but you know, yes, I want to go abroad, definitely, but I still haven't touched everywhere I want to be in the UK yet. Mm. So there's plenty more to tackle.
I mean, you obviously go to fairs and stuff. Do you get tip-offs from, like, house clearances? Do you get people now phoning you and saying, I don't know, there might be something?
Definitely. So as we talked right at the start, it was very much me going out finding stuff and sometimes finding nothing. But now I'm established, I mean, every day, and I do mean daily, I either get calls or texts or emails of, I've got this, I've got that, would you be interested? I even get people pull up in vans saying, do you want to have a look in the back of my van? Which is amazing, but 9 out of 10 things are not me, but you know, you can't stress how much you appreciate people offering you stuff, because you never know. So, you know, these guys who are contacting me keep doing it, because... you know, there's always somebody for something. But yeah, that's the good thing about being known now. I mean, I'm very much out there on Google now. I'm out there known in London, certainly Cambridgeshire as well now. So yeah, it's becoming easier to source items, if that makes sense.
Do you get any really weird and wonderful requests? Can you just give us an example of something that's that you can actually say on the radio?
Do you know what, Liz? I don't, to be honest with you, but... The random thing that does happen is because my website is very personal in terms of that I have people modelling my items, whether that be mums, dads, some customers model for me, the random thing I do get is I get customers emailing saying, who is that girl in your photo? And I'm not sure if I can say this on the radio, but literally... So basically, I often get people saying, I love what that girl's wearing on your photo, and... You could laugh, but there was a vision behind my madness of putting people on my website was that if you put people in your shot, well, the main reason was to show scale of the item, but equally I wanted a website that was fun and engaging. But what it has done on the reverse has caused a lot of people to focus on maybe some of the what I call my models, yet it's totally working for me because they're talking about my website. So that's, in terms of requests, I can't think of anything that somebody's asked me for that I think that's so random, but I want to look for it. I can't think. But that's the opposite side of the business. That's why my business works so well, because people talk about people in my business, which is a great thing for me.
Well, Kyle, it's been lovely talking to you today, and I'm so excited that I got to come back and visit your showroom. And I'm now going to buy something.
Awesome. I'll get the credit card machine. Oh, we take all forms of payment. You know, it's not just cash.
Thank you, Liz.
So, yeah, as you know, I'm going to Standon Calling, which is a music festival. The theme this year is enchanted fairy tales. So I'm after some horns and top hats. Can you sort me out?
I have both in stock right now.
Lovely. Well, Carl, thanks very much and wish you so much success for the future.
Thank you very much.
And if you'd like to check out the website, it is ralphandcovintage.co.uk.